verses near the end of the chapter tonight as we draw the meeting to a close. Luke 24. Just want to say thank you to everybody. I don't want to say too much in case I get emotional, believe it or not. I'm quite a softy, so I don't want to get too emotional, but I just want to thank every one of you from the depths of our hearts, Esther and I, for all your help and support over the last, coming up on 6 years since we came in here. Quite funny, actually, Dennis Lai was preaching then, and he was doing a little series on Sunday morning things which are most surely believed among us. And that morning, I sat down here where the Daly Brothers are, and I sat down there, and Dennis opened the text, and his subject that morning was why you should join the local church. So we thought that was good indicator, so we didn't stop coming back, and then we got stuck in, and we really just enjoyed it here over the last couple of years. And the Lord's blessed us through the ministry and just to all the elders collectively, individually. I just want to thank you for all the opportunity that you've afforded me over the last couple of years to speak at the prayer meetings. And the 7 minute prayer meetings turned into 15 minute, 20 minute, 30 minute, and then one morning the priest here in Esther said to me in the car, "Do you realize you droned on for 40 minutes this morning?" No, I didn't. So I just want to thank you all and all my fellow deacons. I've done my last duty today, and I just want to thank you. It's been a privilege to serve with you, and all of you have kept me right and whispered in my ear when I should have been doing whatever. So I just want to thank you all for that. But let's get to the point of the meeting tonight, the gospel. And I just want to share with you three very simple thoughts from Luke 24, starting at verse 44. In this chapter, there's a lot happening. You have the resurrection of Christ in verses 1 through 12. Of course, the Emmaus Road in 13 through 35. And then the Lord's been with his disciples in 36 through 49. And then the ascension in verses 50 through 53. But tonight, I just want to break in at 44, verse 44. And these are the words of Christ. And he, as the Lord Jesus, said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just have a moment of prayer before we get down to the preaching of God's word. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your help. We thank you for your presence here in this meeting. And Father, whatever has gone before, we thank you for it. We thank you for the people in this church, the elders, the deacons, the members, the adherents. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for how you ever directed our path to Lurgan Baptist and that we made many lifelong friends here. But Lord, to the point of the meeting now, the gospel, we pray that you would just focus minds tonight. Help me, Lord, as I preach this precious gospel of truth, Lord, that those who are listening in tonight might be convicted and challenged as to their need of a Savior, found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask all these things in and through your precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to think tonight and really just take from verse 47, a problem, a reaction, and a solution. A problem, a reaction, and a solution. In verse 47 here we see the Lord Jesus Christ says this, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations." What is sin? You're all going to be very familiar with it. It's rebellion, isn't it, against God? And this gospel message tonight is just going to be a very simple walkthrough. You know, the secular world in which we live tonight does away with the idea of sin. There's no such thing as sin. There's no real, you know, what's good for you is okay for you. It's all relative. Truth is relative. What you believe to be true is true for you, but for me it's different. There's no moral absolutes anymore. And the whole idea of sin, or the problem of sin that we all have, is a foreign concept to many people. C.S. Lewis said this one time about rebellion and revolt. As a sinner, he said, "It is like the scent of a flower trying to destroy the flower itself." You wonder maybe why tonight society is in such a mess. Why do bad things happen? You hear that question all the time. Sin. Sin has corrupted this society. It's corrupted our lives. And it's a very important thing to realize that we are sinners by nature and by practice. But sinners by nature, well, what does that mean? Well, very simply, we are born and shaped in an iniquity. From the very first breath that you breathe on planet Earth, you've been born a sinner. We aren't really born a certain religion, but we're born sinners. Regardless of maybe the home that you've been raised in, good or bad, we're all born in sin. And that presents a problem, doesn't it? Presents a problem because we cannot save ourselves from this sin. The sin that, as I was singing tonight, will take us farther than you ever wanted to go. Those of us who are saved here tonight can probably think back and realize how sin took us further than we ever intended to go. It cost us more than we ever intended to pay. And it kept us longer than we ever wanted to stay. But maybe tonight you're here, you're listening in online, and you've been frankly offended by me calling you a sinner. Well, maybe you think the good in your life outweighs the bad. Maybe you even hold office in the church or a church. Maybe you do a lot of charity work. Maybe you're involved with different organizations. There's good works coming out of your ears. And you just don't believe there's any such thing as sin. Or if there is such a thing as sin, somehow my good works and all the good things that I do for people in the community will outweigh the bad that's in my life. There's no such thing as sin. But can I make it really clear to you tonight that the Bible simply tells us that we're born in sin. And that sin is a transgression of God's law. It's missing the mark. And it's falling short of God's holy standard. It's somebody, a sinner is someone who simply violates that divine law of God. And so we have in society, because of sin, the fact that we're born in sin and we're sinners by nature and we're sinners by practice, we break God's law. Sinners break God's law. If you run your eye down the Ten Commandments, you'll be very familiar with them, I'm sure. But thou shalt not steal. I've never stolen anything, you might say. Wonder if you ever stolen your employer's time. There's so many of the commandments. Take a read over them. And can you honestly say in your heart that you haven't broken any one of them? It'll soon show up that we're sinners in practice. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is none righteous, no, not one. And maybe as you think of yourself as a sinner and the rebellion, if you like, that's in society today, and I know we hear a lot today about compliance and all the rest of it, but largely society, spiritually speaking, is in rebellion, isn't it, against God? We can think of the laws that have been passed even in our own land that are clearly against God's word. Sin drives rebellion. And maybe you're here tonight. And not all rebellion, not all sin, if you like, is obvious or loud. You think of people who are rebellious, or I was going to say rebels, but that maybe has a certain connotation in Northern Ireland. But you think of those who are rebels or rebellious people, it doesn't necessarily mean they're loud and they're flaunting it. Maybe you're just in a quiet defiance to God. Maybe tonight you were raised in a Christian home. I don't know your background, or you're listening in online. And you're just in a simple, quiet defiance to God. It was okay for mum and dad. It's okay for maybe my brothers and my sisters, but not for me. I don't need God. Wonder tonight, do you recognize that you're a sinner, that you're in rebellion? Do you recognize tonight that you're a sinner by nature and by practice? And only the Lord Jesus Christ can release you from this state. Well, that's the problem of sin. that you have in your life. And then let us consider very quickly the reaction here in verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. I want us to see here a reaction. If you've come to that conclusion that you are a sinner, that you are in rebellion, that you do need a Savior, well, what must you do? What's the reaction? Well, Christ always preached repentance alongside the remission or the forgiveness of sins, and we'll come to that in a little bit of time. So what is biblical repentance? What does it mean to repent? It's not maybe a word that's in our English language so much these days. But in the original, it really means to reverse or to turn away and to put away sin. It occurs in the Bible 72 times in the form of repentance or repent. Something's mentioned once in Scripture, it's important. 72 times means it's of vital importance. You see, repentance is the actual putting away of sin itself and being exercised before God that you are a sinner indeed and that only He can save you from that sin. You know, true repentance leads a person to say, I'm sorry, or I have sinned. And there's a 180 degree change in direction. There's tangible evidence that they have repented. You know what it's like with a toddler, not referring at all to mine. I'm sorry for deliberately throwing something on the floor and then 2 minutes later they've done it again. It's not that sort of repentance. It's not a repentance that you're really only saying sorry to try and get out of something and then you'll return to it in a week, a month, a year's time. True repentance is brokenness. And you're pleading and you're asking the Lord for forgiveness from your sin with the intent not to sin again. I wonder tonight, as a sinner, do you realize you're in need of repentance? Do you realize that you need to turn away from your sin? And all those things that violate God's commandments, I wonder, do you realize that you need to turn away? So you might be sitting there saying, Philip, that's fine. You've tried to explain badly what biblical repentance is, but why do I need to repent? What's the big deal? Why do I need to repent of my sin? Well, very simply, if we don't turn away from your sin, if you don't turn away from your sin, if you don't repent and will come to remission and ask for forgiveness, but there's consequences for sin. And not just consequences in this life for sin. And you might be experiencing some of those already. But there's not just consequences in this life, if you like, for sin, but there's eternal consequences. And those consequences, sin has a price. And so often, maybe you've paid. You see, the wages of sin is death. Sin pays. And it pays in full and can pay in full. And not just a physical death and all the problems that maybe sin and the effects of sin have wrecked on your life so far, but maybe for all eternity there'll be a physical separation, a lost eternity, namely hell. A place so terrible that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke more about it than he did about heaven. It's time to get real about a lost eternity. It's time to take it seriously. Hell isn't just a bad day at work or a bad week or a bad use of language. It's a real, literal place of eternal torment. I remember doing a course one time in work and the instructor and invigilator said that just randomly he came out with these stories, but he just said that he reckoned his dad, well, I don't know his dad's background at all, but he reckoned his dad was definitely going to heaven because he was a good person and he did a lot of good. And the instructor said, me, I'm definitely going to hell for all the bad things that I've done, just as flippantly as that. And he says, you know, I suppose it won't be that bad because all my mates are going to be there from the band. If only I could just tell you and paint the picture of Luke 16 into your mind. The rich man, lifting up his eyes, being in torment. Torment. There's no party in hell. And so many think they're just going to be there with their mates. And I don't mean to sound callous or crude. Your friends may be there with you, but you're not going to know them. They're not going to be any help to you. There's no escape. There's no second chance. There's no 30-day trial. There's no in-between state. There's no purgatory. If you're there, you're there. And that's why I preach. And that's why Lurgan Baptist has had a gospel outreach for I don't know how many years it's been here. That's why people have missions to warn you of your need of salvation, because we don't want you to go to a lost eternity. That's why we pray and plead for your soul on a Thursday night and in our own prayer times. This is reality. Hell is a real literal place. What is biblical repentance? Why do I need to repent? How do I repent of my sin? We've maybe already covered this, but repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of your sin. With the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll have a commitment to change. And by the way, repentance is not just some sort of behavioral reform where you clean up your life to do better, be nicer to people. And some people are able to do that for a little while, but ultimately, and sadly, it'll not have any eternal merit for whenever you pass away from this scene of time. True repentance involves a change of heart that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring. And because of that change of heart, there will be a result and a change in behavior. I think it was Ivan Thompson that used to say, if there's no change, there's something strange. And it's so true. That's the tangible benefit or the realization of repentance. But you can't change your heart yourself. You can't get rid of your sin yourself. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ who's able to do that. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I wonder tonight, have you reached that place where you realize that you need to repent? I wonder tonight, do you acknowledge that you're a sinner and you want to turn away from that old life? It's only brought you pain and misery, and to find a new life in Christ. There's so much more to life than just living. And then very quickly and finally, the solution. We've had the problem, the reaction to the problem, and now the solution to the problem. And that repentance and remission of sins. What is remission of sins? Well, remission in the original means forgiveness or deliverance or liberty. Forgiveness, liberty, or deliverance. So if repentance is your acknowledgement that, yes, I am a sinner and I need to be saved before God, then remission is God coming and meeting that need through the Lord Jesus Christ, clearing and cleansing and redeeming you through his precious shed blood of Christ. You know, you can enjoy freedom from your sin tonight. You can enjoy freedom from your sin, whatever it is that binds you, whatever it is that's fooling you with its fake pleasures, deceiving you through temporary fulfillment, you can be delivered from it through the power of the precious shed blood. And that's really just in this life, but then there's much more to come, isn't there, for the believer? Because when you pass from death onto life, you can't pass back again. Praise God. And what awaits the believer? A home in heaven. And not just a home in heaven and all the magnificent things that are in heaven, but a helper along the road of life to guide you through everything that you'll ever go through in life. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Philip, how can I know remission of my sin? How can you know remission of your sins tonight? Hebrews 9:22, part of the verse is, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Matthew 26:28, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. You can know forgiveness tonight. You can know cleansing tonight. because of the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died for you at Calvary. We've just considered Easter a couple of weeks ago, haven't we? Whenever we thought afresh of that time when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, went to Calvary, and he went there for you and he went there for me. And I think that's what sets us apart. Well, I don't think, I know. That's what sets us apart from every other religion on earth. The fact that we serve a risen Savior. And he lives in the power of an endless life. And he's able to save unto the uttermost. Unto the uttermost. I really don't care what you've done in your life. You don't need to tell me anyway. Don't care where you've been. Don't care what you've done. If you confess it to the Lord Jesus Christ, confess it to God, he's able to save you. And he's able to wipe away all that sin. And you can know, not just hope that you're saved or think that you're saved, but you can know without a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. All your sin, your shame, your regret, your failures, all your agony, he took to the cross at Calvary. And his willing sacrifice gave you new life. How do you know this great remission of sins? Maybe you're here tonight. You've accepted that, yes, I'm a sinner. I need to repent. I need to have forgiveness for sin. But you feel you've stepped over some imaginary line. You feel that you've maybe gone too far. You've done something that's just so wrong. You've somehow stepped beyond the limits of God's forgiveness. I don't find that line in my Bible. He's able to save unto the uttermost all that come to him by faith. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Somebody sent me a link to a song yesterday to source them a backing track. I'll not tell you who it was, but he's singing next week. And this is the verse, and it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within. From the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea, it's still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. I wonder tonight, do you see your problem, your sin problem? Do you see your need for repentance, the reaction to your problem? Do you realize tonight that you can have remission, you can have that solution to your sin? Let's pray together before we close with our final hymn. Heavenly Father, we just thank you afresh for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just thank you tonight that the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. And we just pray tonight that if there's some in this meeting, listening online or at a later date, Lord, that you would be pleased to save, that you would bring them to yourself, Lord, that you would save them, you would cleanse them from your sin. We just pray that you would give them deciding grace even this very moment where they sit. Help them, Lord, to make that step and just plead for you, to you for forgiveness of sin. We just ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. Yeah, we are going to have a final hymn.